So before, when I was in college, my wife and I, we served part-time at a church close to the school that I went to with the youth group there. They had about 12 teenagers, and we had a Christmas program, and the teenagers did a great job, and I had a few things I was supposed to do for it, and I botched it. I mean, it was terrible. So ever since then, I have this flinch about Christmas programs, you know. And I don't want to be overly, I'm going to miss doing Christmas programs with our teenagers. Such sweet times, and I'm thankful for the privilege to do them. My wife and I are so thankful that we were able to do three, and I know that their ministry at Christmas will continue wonderfully because they are wonderful teenagers, and our future at Grace Bible Church with our youth group is bright, and we're proud of them. If you would go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The book of John structures in two ways primarily. John is attempting to prove that Jesus is God, not just a man, not just any other man, but that Jesus truly is deity. And he does that two ways. He does that through seven signs. And then he does that through seven statements, I am statements. And this morning we're going to look at the second of those, the second one of those. I remember some time ago, I was probably 5 or 6 years old. We went to, I can't remember technically what they were called, but we went to the caves in Tennessee where like Jesse James would hide out. Carlsbad Caverns, does that sound right? Okay, thank you. So that's where we went. And we went back to these little tunnels. And I've never been, I mean, I've really, any more than any child, I've never really been scared of the dark. You know, and so we go back through these little caves and these little tunnels, and we get to this massive open space, right, in this cave. And the tour guide says, all right, now, if you're comfortable with it, if anyone's going to lose it, we won't, but we would like you to experience utter darkness. And we're going to turn out all the lights. Okay. So they turned out all the lights. And I'm telling you, that kind of darkness was hugely different than just when you turn out the lights in your bedroom. I mean, it was I don't know if anyone's ever done that or if you've been in a completely dark cave. But so I'm seeing lots of nodded heads. Wasn't it literally oppressive? I mean, you just feel like, get me out of here. Right? Wherever, just turn the lights back on. I remember just emotionally, being, again, familiar with the dark. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. Never really been that scared of the dark. I remember just feeling so uncomfortable. I remember feeling like, I don't know how I got here. I don't know the way back. I just need light. Right? And so in that way, emotionally, our sin causes us, before salvation, to experience oppressive darkness. And this picture of light and dark is constantly used in the New Testament. And it's a great picture because it helps us to illustrate who we are before Christ. And not just who we are after Christ, but actually where the light comes from. And not just where the light comes from, but what actually or who actually is the light. You're in John chapter 8. Read with me, or follow along as I read verse 12. We're just going to deal with one verse today. Our time won't be long this morning. You can say amen if you want to on the inside. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray, and we're just going to deal with this one verse this morning. Our Father, we are thankful for the morning we've already had. We're thankful for your working in youth and their courage to serve. But most of all, we're thankful that we truly do have something to celebrate. Different than, as was already mentioned, different than what other people choose to celebrate at Christmas. Those who don't know Jesus don't really understand what they celebrate. And so this morning, I pray that you would help us to be blinded by this light, to be overwhelmed by this light. And Father, I ask again, if there's anyone here who's not saved, they've not been restored to you, they're still in darkness, I pray that the light of Christ would overwhelm their hearts. I ask that you would help them to see the darkness of sin. And I ask this morning that as your word is taught, it would be received with ready ears and fall on ready hearts. I pray for myself that I would just teach the word clearly. I wouldn't stand in the way of it. That Christ would be praised. The Spirit would convict, do his work, and that we would bring honor and glory to the Father. For you are worthy, God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Very simple outline this morning. We're just, like I said, we're just going to deal with verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, actually, this passage is a little bit difficult to place, okay? Context is very important when we read the Bible. And ordinarily, if we're looking at context, we'd look at the preceding passages and the following passages. And even we would back up into the several of the preceding paragraphs. The problem with the struggle with this particular passage is that if you look at the verse, the first half, the first little part of chapter 8 there, starting in verse 1 down to verse 11, not all ancient manuscripts have that story, okay? And so as we have translated the scriptures, this is just where they put that story. So we don't actually know if verses 8, 1 through 11, if this is exactly where it took place. Okay, so we get this idea that in verse 12, John is he's either continuing a conversation or he's actually just kind of beginning this new thought. Again, Jesus spoke to them, because obviously Jesus speaks a lot in the book of John, so it would have been a very natural introduction to say, again, Jesus is speaking, right? But wherever we see the context, the truth points us to what Jesus says about himself. And as I've already said, this is a common thing that Jesus is going to do in the book of John. He's going to say, I am, and then he's going to add something to it. The book, this is actually a very important part of the book. It's one of John's main strategies. And so, I am the light, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the door, I am the shepherd. All of those things, you understand what Jesus is doing is he's proving something specific about himself, in order to help us realize that he's God. And so this is the second, like I said, this is the second one of those I am statements. So what does he say about himself? First of all, in verse 12, let's look at the light. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Now, if you're listening to our call to worship passages, Ian read it. This is actually one of the first descriptors of Jesus in the book of John. He is the light, and the darkness will not overcome it. And so if we understand who the light is, we also understand, we need to understand why we need a light. Right? Because the opposite of light is darkness. And the New Testament fleshes out this idea of darkness a good bit. It has a good deal about to say, or has a good deal to say about the idea of darkness. Because when we understand the darkness, then we fully understand the light. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about unbelievers who are living in darkness. So it's like literally before Jesus Christ, they're walking around, spiritually speaking, as if they have no direction, as if they have no way forward, as if they can't control the circumstances around them because they can't see the circumstances around them. And when you're in darkness, you don't know what's ahead. You don't know what's before you. You're living inhibited. I'm very aware of this now, having young children needing to get up and basically not being awake yet and still being asleep and rolling out of bed and it's dark in the room, and so you just need a minute to collect yourself because, you know, you don't want to stub your toe on the bed or something, and you don't, you know, whatever. And so we all understand what it's like to need to move around in the darkness, but spiritually there's no way forward in the darkness in and of ourselves. First, in John chapter 3, John talks about this being our mode of operation. We not only live in darkness, we love darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Now that's kind of weird, right? Because it doesn't make sense to us as people who've been in darkness and then who've been in light to want to live in darkness. But actually what Jesus says here in John chapter 3 is that men love darkness rather than light. Before Jesus Christ, that's actually their desire because they're living in sin. And so that idea of darkness in the New Testament is the same as the idea of sin. Sin is equated with darkness. So here's the idea. Unbelievers who haven't been overwhelmed by the light of Christ, who haven't received salvation, who've not confessed of their sins, don't just live in darkness because they have to. They live in darkness because they want to. They're choosing to live in darkness. As I was preparing for this, I thought about one of the differences between Pastor Fisher and myself. Many times I've walked into Pastor Fisher's office and the lights are off. It's like, it's kind of dark in here, right? And sometimes he says, oh, I didn't even notice. He loves the darkness. Not in that way. He likes a dark office. I feel like I like light, man, right? And that's just a personality difference. I'm not knocking Pastor Fisher. It's a personality difference. But physically, he likes a dark office. Unbelievers spiritually like sin. They receive 2 Corinthians 2, they receive the words of God as foolishness. If you're with us this morning and you've not confessed and believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of the fundamental truths about John 3 verses 19 through 20 is that you sin because you want to. You're in darkness because it's your choice. And I'm not picking on you. I'm not trying to be insulting. Now listen up, unbelievers or believers. Do you know why we sin? Because we want to. Now, yeah, our spirit pushes against it. The Holy Spirit pushes against it, and we feel bad when we sin. And fundamentally, as believers in Jesus Christ, we do want to do better, and we want to grow. But that thing that you said when you got angry, do you know why you said that? Because you wanted to say it. Say, no, I didn't. Then don't say it. Fundamentally, we sin because we choose to. And if we don't want to sin, you know what we need to do? Make different choices. When we're in the flesh and we feel those words rising up that we know we shouldn't say, and we say hurtful things, we said that because we wanted to. But here's, we don't like to think that about ourselves because we don't want to think that we're that bad. The only thing good about us is Jesus. And our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. The only thing bright about my life and about my heart is the light of the world. And if I want that light to overwhelm my life and show out of my life, reflect out of my life, I need to stop making sinful choices. And I need to want to please that light, please Jesus above all things. And when I want to please Jesus above all things, I won't make dark choices. Paul takes a step further in Ephesians 5. So we've talked about how we live in darkness. Paul says in Romans 1, John says in chapter 3, or Jesus says in chapter 3 that we love darkness. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, you were darkness. It's not just something that you live in. It's not just something as believers in Jesus Christ, this is something that we lived in. It's something that we were. So how does that work? It's like we were darkness everywhere we went. We embodied darkness. I don't even know I don't know technically how that works and what Paul is saying, but he takes a step further and says, isn't just how you lived. This is what you were. Your identity was defined by the darkness of sin. That's pretty bad. That's not a good situation. That's not a good story. That's not good. But Jesus, the light of the world, shines into our hearts and our lives, and we receive that light, and we confess of our sins. And what does John 1 say? The darkness has not overcome it. So the darkness of our sin is bad, but the light of Jesus is more powerful than anything. Second, let's look at our living. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, so first of all, the light is Jesus. Second of all, there's this direction that we see. If you follow Jesus, you won't walk in darkness. Okay, so following is the idea of decision making. It's a lifestyle. All right, so if you follow Jesus, you won't walk in darkness. If I don't like a dark office, then I turn a light on. And then sometimes if it's dark in the auditorium, if it's dark in the wings, the light in my office shows me where I need to walk. Not just because I know where my office is, but I can follow something. So are you following after the light? Following after Jesus? It's not just this concept. It's not just this ethereal concept of light, but actually if Jesus is the light, as you follow the light, you follow Christ. You follow Jesus. It's like in the darkness of our lives, it's like in the darkness of sin, Jesus turns on the light and then just waves you. Says, come this way. Come this way. And then as we struggle every day with sin, Jesus, the light, is just leading us. And so we just know where to walk because he's the light and he's leading us. And we see him. Light leading the people of God is an Old Testament concept as well. This is not a new thing. Do you remember when the Israelites were wandering? How did they walk in the night? The light of God went before them. In the New Testament, the people of God see the light. It's Christ. And we go where he goes. And we say what he says. And we live like he lived. And we think like he thought. Because he is the light. And we follow him. Thirdly and finally, this points for you. If you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, let's look at our life, our light, our living, and our life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if darkness in the New Testament is sin, and it is, then how do we have life? How do we have our sins forgiven? In the blackness and darkness and utter hopelessness of our sin, Jesus shines into our lives. And if all we do is confess and believe the darkness that we lived in, loved, and were ourselves is utterly taken care of in Christ. If there's darkness in a room, it's not because darkness is powerful or darkness is present. It's because light is absent. And so as sinners, as those who've not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, it's not because you can't have light. It's that the light of Christ has not been shed abroad into your heart and life. That possibility is available to you. It's ready. You can have it. You say, how? Paul, it's very simple. Paul says, confess with your mouth that you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised, and you will have salvation. And that salvation is only available through the light of Christ. And then what happens? I don't know if you remember science class, but did you ever study those prisms in science class, right? And light hits it, it reflects it, and sends it lots of different directions. Quite beautiful. Do you know what happens? Jesus saves you by his light, and you turn into an image-bearing prism of the light of Christ. And that light shines and reflects out of you. And if we're following the light of Christ, people who are in darkness begin to see glimpses of the light himself. And they go, I don't know what's different, but there is a difference. So that light begins to shine in you. So brothers and sisters, let's reflect that light together, right? Let's live the light of Christ. If you're with us this morning and you've not accepted the Lord as your Savior, you've not been overwhelmed by the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, you can today. And as that star shone light where Jesus was, and the Magi followed it, and they followed that light only to see the light itself, Jesus can lead you to himself today, because he is the light that brings us out of darkness. Let's pray. We're going to have a brief invitation time. I know we have guests with us today. I know we have visitors with us. Maybe they were here to see a relative, a teenager or something in our worship time. But I would like to give anyone the opportunity to respond to the light of salvation this morning, kids and adults. And so in just a moment, Ronald Lee's going to play. I'm just going to ask you a few questions, all right? So every head bow, every eye closed. Just going to ask you a few questions. If you're with us this morning and you say, I have by God's grace, the light of life is in me. I've trusted in Christ and he's overcome the darkness of my life. If you're with us and you're saved, if you just slip up your hand so I can see it. You're with us and you're saved. You've believed in Jesus Christ. The light of life is in your life. If you just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. Praise Christ for the light that he is. You can put your hands down. If you're with us this morning and you said, you might say, I have some questions. I'm living in darkness. I am in darkness. That darkness you talked about, it's sinful. I feel oppressive. I feel like this life doesn't satisfy me. I just have questions, and I don't know that I have the light of life, the light of Christ in my life. If you'd like to talk to someone about how you can have salvation, how you can have the light of Christ in your life, no one's looking around except me. If you would just slip your hand up. We're not going to embarrass you. We would find someone to talk to you privately, and they could have a conversation with you about how you could accept, how you could believe in Christ, and the overwhelming light of Jesus would save you. Anyone interested in that, if you just slip your hand up. All right. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for all who were here. I pray that the light of Christ, if there's anyone here who's not a believer, who's not confessed their sins, I pray that the light of Christ would overwhelm them and bring them out of darkness. And I pray for us who are saved, I pray you'd help us to reflect the light. Help us to be so in touch and trusting and following Jesus that we reflect the light. That people see the light in us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.